Like you to open your Bibles with me. And we're looking at Mark chapter 10. We're in a series called Encounters with Jesus. And the idea behind this series is that when you encounter Jesus, you do not leave unchanged. And we've seen this over the last few weeks. We've seen this with people such as Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus, and he has the literature. He has the upbringing, the pedigree, he's got the belonging. He's part of the religious organization, and he has learned everything that he thought there is to know about God. And along comes this Jesus who's doing things that he cannot understand. And he comes to Jesus in the night. And Jesus looks at this man and says, "You must be born again. It's the only way. You must be born again." Then we see that he is changed, that he begins a journey in which he begins to become more and more bold and understanding who Jesus is. And in the end, we see him boldly representing Jesus Christ as he prepares for his burial. And then we see the Samaritan woman last week. And we see a lady who looked directly into the face of Jesus, but did not see who he was. And she's asking for him to give this water. Jesus is saying to her, "Listen, if you knew who I was, and if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." And so once again, we have a person who comes and they're spiritually hungry, but she's also thirsty, but she forgets her water pot and she goes and tells her whole town about this Jesus who changed, who knows everything and has changed her heart. She begins to share Jesus with her community, and her whole community begins to follow after Jesus. People who encounter Jesus Christ are changed. And now today, we are going to see something that's a little ironic. Because we have this man named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is blind. He cannot see. And yet the blind man seems to see who Jesus is more than anybody else around. The blind man recognizes who Jesus is. When the crowd is all yelling out, you know, and saying, "Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth is here," Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." Beautiful story. Let's look at this in Mark chapter 10 in verse 46. And let's all stand together as we read this. Mark accounts that they came to Jericho in verse 46. And then he says, "And as they went out of Jericho with the disciples, there was a great crowd of people, a multitude. And there was a blind man named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, and he sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that this was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me.' And the crowd, many people, began to warn him and said, 'Just be quiet, be quiet.' But he cried out all the more, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And so Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man and they said to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you.' And so throwing aside his garment, he jumped to his feet, he came to Jesus. And so Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said, 'Rabbi, Rabboni, teacher, that I may receive my sight.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, for your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight. He followed Jesus on the road." You may be seated. So Jesus is leaving Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus, knowing exactly what waited for him in Jerusalem, he had been discussing this with his disciples. His disciples didn't really understand what he's telling them, but Jesus said, "Listen, I am going there to be betrayed and condemned and mocked and beaten and killed, and then I will rise again." Within just days from this story right here, Jesus is going to go into Jerusalem. He's going to cleanse the temple again. He's going to confront the religious authorities. He's going to be teaching his disciples on the Mount of Olives. He's going to be meeting with his disciples in the upper room. He's going to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane like no man has ever prayed before. He's going to be betrayed, arrested, falsely accused, beaten, and mocked and crucified. The entire purpose for why Jesus came is ahead of him. The cross is not an unexpected interruption to the plans of Jesus Christ. I had that question posed to me a few weeks ago by a very kind Muslim man who had genuine questions. And he asked me, he says, how is it that Jesus could not defeat the Jewish people? How is it that he could not protect himself? If he is God, how is it that they were able to kill him? And it was beautiful because I was able to share with him this truth. Jesus came to die. This was not outside of the scope of what Jesus came to do. This was the main event. Jesus came to give his life. Nobody takes his life for him. Jesus lays his life down. The cross was not an unexpected interruption to the plans of Jesus Christ. The cross was his mission. And this is amazing because just before this passage that we read today in Mark 10:45, Jesus told his disciples, he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so think about all of this. All of this, this weight is on Jesus. Soon he will sweat blood, drops of blood. All of this weight is on him. And he hears a voice of a blind beggar. He hears him crying out. And the crowd tries to silence this voice, this man who is desperate. And Jesus stops. Those are the four things we're going to look at today. Jesus stops. Jesus calls. Jesus listens. And Jesus saves. But the first thing the Son of God does is he stands still. The creator of the universe stops on the road because a blind beggar is crying for mercy. Think about this contrast. So many people in the world today don't have time for Jesus. Maybe you happened across this particular YouTube channel and you're just like, what are these people watching, you know, these days? And you're just, you tuned in just for a moment and you're watching this. And yet you look at your life and it's just full of things. And you think, I don't have time for that kind of stuff. I don't have time to carve out in my busy schedule to pray, to worship, to read the words of God, to spend time with the people of God. I don't have time for that. But look at the contrast. Here, the Son of God, who's going to die on the cross, all of that's ahead of him. And he hears the cry of a beggar and he stops. The Creator stops. This is not a distraction for Jesus. Mercy is never a distraction for Jesus. Mercy is his mission. And that's one of the most remarkable things that we see as we're running through these encounters with Jesus, is Jesus makes time for just everyday people. Isn't that amazing? Just regular people. Nicodemus, who comes at night. Jesus could have just said, you know, listen, you know, I'm sneaking here at night. I'm not doing night. You know, appointments are during the day. You know, come back tomorrow. No, Jesus, that was a divine appointment. Jesus went out of his way to meet with that woman at the well who was somebody who culturally he shouldn't even be acknowledging according to his fellow Israelites. And yet he made time to have an appointment with the Samaritan woman. The little children, remember that story? They wanted to bring their children to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you bless our kids? Speak a blessing over our kids. And the disciples and all the bouncers among Jesus were saying, no, Jesus is too important for those little kids. And Jesus says, no, let the little children come unto me. Jesus is mercy. Jesus is love. Jesus has compassion. Jesus stops for a blind beggar. And it reminds me of David in Psalm 8:4, when David just wonders. He's thinking about the creator of the universe, and he's thinking, God, how is it that you pay attention to me? And he says in Psalm 8:4, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you pay attention to him? How is it, God, that you are looking at lowly me? And yet God does this. Jesus stops. I shared this with our youth on Wednesday night because we're going through Psalm 139. We were on verse 17. And as I'm thinking about and preparing for our youth message and what I'm going to share to the kids, it just hit me. This psalm, this portion of this psalm just stuck out to me. That David, maybe, was having trouble sleeping one night. Thoughts are swirling through his head. But then he realizes, I want to think about God. And as he's thinking about God, he's thinking about the fact that God is thinking about him. And he's just overwhelmed with this realization. God thinks about me. God is concerned about me. And as he's thinking these thoughts, and he's thinking about all the ways in which God thinks about him, the perfect peace of God comes over him, and all of a sudden, he's out cold. Now, listen to that passage with that in perspective, and I might be, you know, stretching this a little bit, but I don't think so. Listen to this. David says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And I believe there's a little pause there. And he's out cold. He wasn't counting sheep. And I said to the youth, how many of you count sheep? You know, you just like struggle trying to fall asleep and you're lying there with your anxieties. Instead, start counting all the ways in which your heavenly Father thinks about you. Cast your cares upon him. Why? Because the Bible tells us that he cares for you. And I believe there's a little pause here, and that David, all of a sudden, he wakes up and he's like, I'm awake. And he says, and God, you're still with me. You're still with me. In other words, even while he was sleeping all night long, God was watching over him. And God is concerned about him. And so God stops. It's such an important truth. Bartimaeus was not invisible to Jesus. Have you ever felt that, invisible in a crowd? Some of you never feel that. Like some of you just, you walk into the room and you're the main character. And God has just kind of gifted you a leadership and you're just kind of this outgoing personality and people wait till you arrive to decide what we're going to do at this event. You know, that's just personality and maybe people are magnetized toward you. And others of you, you might arrive and just feel like you're invisible. You're not seen. Bartimaeus was unseen. People may have looked at him and said, oh, it's just that guy again, you know? I gave him money last time. I'll just try not to look at him. You ever do that when you pull up to a stoplight and there's a guy there with a cup and you just don't give eye contact, you know, turn green, you know, I don't have any money, you know, I have my Visa card, do I give him that? I can't, you know, so you just kind of don't give him eye contact. He's invisible. And Bartimaeus may have felt that to the hundreds passing by, but Jesus stopped. And Jesus calls. Jesus calls. Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing by, and so he starts to cry out. And this is remarkable because Bartimaeus cannot see Jesus. He didn't see the miracles of Jesus. He didn't see Jesus heal the lepers. He didn't see Jesus heal the lame. He didn't see Jesus heal the other blind man. Bartimaeus could not see. But he probably heard stories, and he probably heard the local priest sharing and reading from the scrolls. And he heard things about a coming Messiah. He heard about the Christ, the son of David, the one who would bring liberation. He heard when the Isaiah scroll was opened up and read, and he heard that when salvation was to come, that blind eyes would be open and people would be set free. And so when he heard that this Jesus, whom people had been talking about, the word, there was a buzz about this Jesus, His faith was already activated. His faith already said, if Jesus ever came, I know what I'm going to do. So the moment he heard that Jesus was there, this was his opportunity. And so I can imagine he was crying out loud, have mercy on me, son of David, hoping that Jesus would hear his voice, knowing that Jesus, if he heard his voice, would stop. And what a phrase to say, have mercy upon me. You might recognize that from the Old Testament, Psalm 51. David cries, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Have mercy. But in the Old Testament, whenever that was quoted, it was have mercy, God. And what he does, Bartimaeus, is he takes that, have mercy, and he applies it to the Son of God, to the Son of David, to Jesus, the Messiah. And he says, have mercy upon me. I love too that you're seeing the Joel 2:32 pattern come out here, where Joel prophesies that it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, I can't hear you because of the rain. He shall be saved. The crowd, however, is telling this guy, be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you. But when they tell him to be quiet, his faith gives greater focus to the mercy of Christ than it does to the voices of the crowd. You see, the crowd says, be quiet. But faith says, just keep on calling. Some of you may have been told to be quiet. Don't get so worked up about serving God. Don't get carried away. You're just getting a little too loud. You're too excited. It'll wear off after a while. And Jesus is encouraging us to have faith and to keep pressing forward, to press in, to find our hope in him alone. And so here we see this reversal. The crowd has been telling Bartimaeus, be quiet, be quiet. You're messing up this scene. This is really good what's happening here. And you're just annoying everybody. Just be quiet, bud. And Jesus stops and he calls and he tells the crowd, he tells the people, go and tell him to come to me. And so the bouncers, the criticizers, the people who are saying, be quiet, you're being too noisy, now have to turn around, go to Bartimaeus and say, hey, guy, take courage. He's calling you. Take courage. He is calling you. But where is his courage? He's still blind. He's still stuck beside the road. He's blind. His courage is not that his eyesight has been given back to him. He didn't receive an instant miracle the moment Jesus spoke, the moment Jesus called. Instead, he's still sitting beside the road. But the moment he heard that Jesus was calling his name, Jesus was calling him to himself, what did Bartimaeus do? He took his cloak and he threw it off. And it says, the New King James Version says he rose up, but it's using a word that they didn't know yet. The newer translations better translate this. And it says that he sprung up. He popped up, blind Bartimaeus, jumped up, and he went to Jesus. You can just imagine him just working his way through the crowd to get to Jesus and saying, lead me, bring him to me, bring me to him quickly. And as a church, Jesus is calling us to be that. Calling people to him. Leading people to him. And so many times we can have apathy. We can get lazy. We can forget the opportunities that are right in front of us. Lately, I've been just praying, God, help me to see the opportunities that are all around me. The people that I normally just kind of look over and see past, help me to stop and to talk and to show love and to reach out. And I tell you, when you begin to do that, Jesus will call people to himself, because the reality is this. Jesus was never silent. Jesus had already stopped. Long before you stop and reach out and invite, God is already working. Isn't that awesome? God is already at work. And so third, Jesus listens. And so when Bartimaeus reaches him, Jesus asks what he wants him to do. It seems like a funny question, isn't it? Okay, the blind guy's calling, have mercy, have mercy. Jesus says, go get him. He comes, and then Jesus, the blind man, standing in front of him, and Jesus's question is, what do you want me to do for you? And all the disciples and everybody around are like, hey, you know, hate to be Captain Obvious here, but don't you know what this man wants? We've been seeing him for years. He needs to see Jesus. He knows what you can do. But there's something beautiful about this. Listen to this. Jesus listens. You are truly heard by Jesus. He doesn't just jump to some conclusion. How many of you have had some conclusion you've jumped to about somebody and you're totally wrong? Yesterday, I met a young boy who, not a young boy, he's graduating high school, and he's from Afghanistan, really nice guy, and it was really hot. We're standing in the sun. I said, I guess you're, you know, because he just came over 3 years ago, and he's finishing school here. I said, I guess you're, like, used to this kind of heat. Like, this is regular all year for you, and he looks at me like I'm dumb. He's like, I'm from Afghanistan. He says, our temperature's the same as yours in Canada. And I was just like, I felt so stupid. You just kind of assume that, you know, the Middle East region, that whole area is just all hot all the time. And then I remember, no, they have a beautiful Canadian climate in Afghanistan. And I felt kind of stupid for a moment. And I was really thankful that he took the time to, you know, tell me the reality. But so many times we look at someone and we just come to conclusions. We come to conclusions. We think we know what their greatest need is. We think we already know what their struggles are. But their struggle might not have anything to do with the thing that you perceive. But Jesus doesn't do that. He listens, and he encourages us, listen to people. Ask questions. I listened to somebody recently on a podcast, and he says, as a conversation expert, he says, what I've noticed is most people don't converse. He says, most people, all they do, he says, listen to people talk, and somebody will say something along the lines of, yeah, you know, so what have you been up to? And, oh, you know, taking my kid to, you know, dance. And they're like, oh, I have a niece who's in dance. And yeah, you know, she you know, did this big dance competition. Oh, yeah, you know, my cousin did one of those dance comp. And the conversation's just back, forth. And a conversation never happens. It's just people like, it's like they're having their own, it's a dual monologue, he calls it. What I want to encourage you as a church to do is to truly converse and listen. Listen like Jesus listens. Jesus asked what should have been the obvious, but he asks the question and allows the person to be heard. And I know it sounds so simple, but this could dramatically change the relationships within our church. Are we getting rained on the side here? We're good? Okay. Just making sure. I want you to be heard. I want to listen. And so Jesus listens. And you know how he answers? I want to see. I got to see Jesus. I want to be made whole. I want to see you. This was his answer to Jesus. And he was specific. I was told this morning I should have been specific because I said to Ken Maxwell, we were in the cottage and I'm like, oh man, it is pouring rain. I said, the sad thing is at home in Nanticoke, we're in the drought alley. There's rain in Port Dover. There's rain pouring here in Selkirk. And in Nanticoke on the radar, it just shows we're in the clear. And I've been praying for rain at home so much, just like, you know, the soybeans are just crying. And so I just pray for my dad's crops. And I'm so thankful Dad got his wheat crop, a bumper crop, but I'm praying for rain. And Ken says, were you praying for rain in Nanticoke? He's like, God's giving you your rain right now, but you're here. You should be home getting your rain. And he's like, you got to be specific. You know, don't make assumptions. You already know that Jesus knows your needs, but did you know Jesus wants you to be specific in your requests? Why? It's an act of faith. It's an act of understanding that God can do things that are beyond your comprehension. And so be specific. Ask God what he desires for you And then specifically ask requests in line with the will of God. And finally, Jesus saves. I love the language here because Jesus could have said that your faith has given you eyesight. He could have said, your faith has restored your vision. You have 20/20. Go and be blessed. But instead, you know what he says? He says, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. It's beautiful. You see, a big miracle was his eyes, but a bigger miracle was this, because when Jesus says, go your way, guess which way he went? Jesus's way. You see, this man started off as a beggar beside the road. He started off beside the road, but the story ends this way. He went on the road and followed after Jesus. He followed Jesus because now the way of Jesus was his way. The way of Jesus, he's like, I'm gonna follow this guy. And not only did he follow him, he likely followed him to Jerusalem. I believe that Bartimaeus was one of the ones who witnessed the sufferings of Christ. I believe he was one of the ones who was on the mount with the 500 as they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. I believe that he truly on this day was saved. Today you might have been ignoring Jesus. You're busy. I get it. Life is busy. Gas is $1.70 a liter. You got to work harder now. Life is crazy. Life with kids is crazy. With grandkids and kids and great-grandkids, it's crazier yet. Life is going to get crazier. But think about this. Jesus, the King and Creator of the universe, made time for Bartimaeus. Jesus has already stopped for you and is waiting for you. He is not limited by time or space. He has unlimited resources, and he wants you to slow down and spend time with him. Maybe you think you're unworthy. We've had people tell us, you know, the walls of this church are going to fall down on me if I come to church. Maybe you're here today and you're like, just be blessed. We don't have walls. We just got doors. And they're not going to fall on you. It's such a blessing to know this, that our faith is not dependent on our goodness, but on his mercy. And he is merciful. Maybe the crowd's telling you, take it easy, slow down, don't run after God that hard. You know, there's other important things in life. And my encouragement is to you that not one moment in his presence is a wasted moment. Not a moment. And so serve him, love him, live for him, and trust him. Let's stand up together. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that you have shown us that you stop. Lord God, that you call, you listen, and you save. And no matter where people are at today, I ask that we could be reminded of these truths and that we can have an encounter with you that will change the direction of our lives. Some of us are stuck by the road. Some people here may feel that they can't get up, they can't move on. They may feel they're just going in circles. I ask that God, today, you would bring salvation and liberty, that you would stop. We already know that your desire is to call, to hear, and to save. So allow our ears to be open to what your Spirit is saying to each person here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.